This is Dave Glowatz of MrRadio.org. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Are you ready for our little chat today, Ben?
Absolutely.
Good. Today we're talking about your column in the September 25th, 2008 edition of the Reader titled The Endangered Watchdog. In addition to paying homage to former Alderman Bert Nateras, your article talks about the possible demise of a school advocacy group, Chicago Public Schools, a sort of reform advocacy group, Parents United for Responsible Education, also known as PURE. And one of the things that PURE does is it helps parents and community members who are involved in local school councils. And I suspect that a lot of our listeners don't know what local school councils are. So I thought we'd spend a minute and talk a little bit about LSCs, as they're abbreviated.
All right.
I have some facts here, and you can maybe read some of these facts for our listeners about what LSCs are.
Well, LSCs were created, this says 1988.
It was a state law that created local school councils in Chicago.
Okay, what happened was in 1987, there was a devastating teacher strike, the last teacher strike our systems had. I forget how many days it went for, but it was long. I think 19 school days is the number that sticks in my mind. Out of that strike, there was this tremendous surge of just anger on the part of many parents who felt as though everybody had let them down and that they needed a voice. And from that anger, if you will, or from that movement, there emerged a push for local control, a decentralization of the school system, which had been highly centralized for as long as I can remember. Almost all decisions controlled and shaped by the central office. And so what they did was they passed a law that was first implemented in 89 in which every single school, every grammar school, every high school in the district would be controlled by a board of officials elected by the people involved in the school. So there would be six parent reps who would be elected by the parents of children in the school, two community reps who would be elected by the people who lived within the district itself, two teachers who would be elected by the teaching staff, and then the principal would have an automatic position on the board, and the principal, of course, whatever the principal is. And these local school councils were given control of the curriculum. They could design the curriculum of the school. They were given control of the school's budget, all discretionary money that the school got. They could control, so if they wanted to implement a program on reading, they could. If they wanted to have a dance teacher, they could. They were given control over the budget. And finally, and the most important thing, they were given control over determining who the principal would be, and they would sign a contract with the principal for, I think it was 4 years.
And they also would review the principal's performance each year. That was part of their responsibility.
Yeah, and then at the end of 4 years, they would decide whether to keep the principal or ask the principal to leave and then bring in a new principal. So it was an exercise in sort of democracy. In those early days, the local school councils would also have a hand in determining who the representatives on the Board of Ed were. There was a whole cumbersome process by which local school councils in their own right would elect like a governing board of local school council leaders who came from all over the city, and that group would submit to the mayor a list of people that he could choose from to put on the school board.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, this was an attempt to really revise the way education was structured in Chicago traditionally, and the idea was that parents should have a greater say in the education of their children.
Just a couple of statistics. The first time that Chicago had a local school council election was in 1989, as you mentioned. 17,256 candidates ran for 6,000 council seats. This is at all the public schools in Chicago. This is high schools and grade schools, about 550 schools. And 312,000 people voted. So that's a pretty big election in terms of Chicago elections.
Right.
Let's contrast that to 2006, when only 7,000, a little over 7,000 candidates ran, 41% of what it was in 1989, and about a third of the people voted that voted in 1989. And a couple things happened in between. One thing that happened was a law was passed in 1995 that gave Chicago Public Schools the ability to designate alternative or small schools, and those schools didn't have to have elected local school councils. They could have an advisory council, but those councils did not have the authority that you described local school councils have.
Yeah.
Another things happened in 99. The Chicago Public Schools got the ability to rescind local school councils' decisions on principals. So what looks like to me happened is the 1988 state law that created local control, that local control is slowly being eroded through the 90s during coincidentally, the Daley administration, which took over in 89.
We have lived through two massive reforms. Each one contradicts the other. In 1995, there was a second reform movement, and they used the word reform in each case, which then sort of underscores the fact that reform has no real meaning. And that reform movement returned some of the power back to the central authority. In particular, they gave Mayor Daley complete control over the Board of Education. No more would local school councils give the mayor a list of names that he chose from. Instead, the mayor could choose whoever he wanted to be on the school board. And in addition, the mayor got to choose whoever he wanted to run the schools.
That's a pretty big change.
It was an enormous change.
Let me back you up a step. You said there was a second reform movement.
Yeah.
What was the movement?
The movement was the movement by Mayor Daley to take control of the schools.
So this was not a popular movement.
Yeah. Let's call it a coup d'etat. The mayor took control. The schools needed funding. They needed extra funding. And so the mayor said, all right, I'll tell you what, if I'm going to be responsible, if I'm going to be held accountable for the performance of the schools, I want to control them. And so in exchange for giving him more money, the state legislator gave him more control.
And one of the things that's happening now is that the percentage of schools that have elected local school councils is decreasing because the city's Renaissance 2010 project, which means to create innovative schools, according to the city, and which are usually run by some contractor, if I'm not mistaken, those schools never have an elected local school council, and there are more of them all the time.
Right.
In fact, existing schools are being reorganized.
Yes.
Into these so-called Renaissance 2010 schools, the charter schools.
Right. Well, there's charter schools, there's alternative schools, there's small schools, there's schools within schools, they have contract schools, they have different names.
And none of them have to have elected LSCs.
And this is what a central squabble is. As a greater portion of the schools in existence become these alternative schools, then the number of schools with LSCs falls.
And their thinking, just to play devil's advocate, is that, as you said earlier, if we have accountability for the schools, then we should be able to have control. On the other hand, the Chicago Tribune opined at one point, quote, a high-functioning council which sets school spending and hires the principal usually translates directly into a high-performing school, end quote. So there's a contradiction here. At least according to some people, a good LSC translates to a good school, but Chicago Public Schools is interested in reforming schools so they don't have elected school councils.
Look, if you subscribe to the notion that the city is best run top-down by a central authority figure named Mayor Daley, and that you should minimize as much as you can any opportunity for people to dissent, to oppose whatever Mayor Daley implements, then yes, you should be for the current trend of centralizing authority in our local schools. If you, on the other hand, believe that democracy, as messy as it can be, is preferable to an oligarchy or a plutocracy, then you should be in favor of local school councils retaining some power.
Well, moving forward, the next chance that people will have to vote for local school councils in their communities will be 2010. Because whether our listeners knew it or not, there was an election this past spring for a local school council citywide, and the members of councils serve a two-year term, provided they're still around in 2010.
Right.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
This is Dave Gloetz. I've been speaking with Ben about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.